Great morning.
Oh, is it ambush?
Oh.
Is it? Is it a great morning?
I would love it to be. I want it to be. What do you call that? I don't know. Wishful thinking?
Fantasy. I don't know. Shout out to Mariah Carey.
Yeah, listen, I'll pull it up.
Don't play. I'm in a phase, if you will. Good morning, fiancés.
Morning, y'all.
How are we today? Ambush, I said that I asked that question for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that reason is, you know, we've discussed many times how we produce a show and then we get all this other news. And then it's like, so do we just scrap all that work we did or do we? And right now, friends. Shout out to the hot tips we were getting.
Shout out to
Cameron. Fam, thank you.
Shout out to our followers, man.
We both of us have to be better about actually being in that account. And I mean, listen. We're all family here.
Listen, that's gonna get better because we've had successful recruitment in the expansion of the team. Shout out to the people that did fill out the volunteer form. And there's still some slots available. But things are getting a lot smoother. We're very encouraged by those that did fill out the volunteer form. Y'all are awesome.
And we will get back to you.
Yeah.
Very soon.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's fourth quarter. Thanks. Two major holidays are coming
holidays,
up. Industry slowdown.
Schmolidays. Busy. The bustle.
That's how I heard that.
That's kind of how I meant it. I would like to small the holidays up this year, if we could. I'd skip them. Skip them all together.
God bless you. You really, in 45 seconds, you completely reversed my energy on the air.
Well, look at that, America.
Wow.
I was feeling. Give me a reggae horn. Okay.
What? It's not as good as yours.
We're gonna work on your.
I dialed it back a little bit.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're gonna celebrate me, you know, let's get the reggae horn right. That's all I'm saying here. I had to pull up the text line.
Yeah, we got a hit already.
Good morning. Clearly, Ambush is manifesting a great morning.
Hello. I got my fingers to my temple like Professor X.
Have a great morning. He doing his level best.
And then Wanda gets.
Well, women are more powerful.
Word to the Marvels. Everybody go see that. Okay.
Can you say that? I'm pretty sure you can't say that. Dump button. Okay. Edit.
All right.
Delete. Not support our show. Slow down.
The strike's over. They're allowing me to promote my films. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know what? You win. I can't wait to see your name in the credits. That's going to be wild. Wow. That's not what I expected you to say at all. Okay. So, again, shout out to Cameron. I saw the message late, though. That's the issue. Well, I was trying to take accountability for myself and saying I have not been on any of the social meds in the way that I'm supposed to. And, yes, I am, I think... I have said this maybe out loud or on that same social media. I am definitely going to get to those inboxes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a little overwhelming at the moment. So
those sharing the anxiety of a packed inbox.
Yeah, man.
It's real, right?
It certainly is for me. You miss a day. And it's like, oh, okay, well, then I might as well have missed 8 months. And so I'll just live here with not reading anything, I guess.
And MJ is fairly popular, so I understand. Oh, the many threads that have, you know, it's a lot, guys.
Popular. So, apologies. Honestly, I do mean that from the bottom of my heart. but I'm also not doing great with the news with my fiance account. So again, shout out Cameron, gave us the hot tip, because we can't be privy to every single thing. And this one was terrible. We should have been on this story already, but you know, weeks are weeks and life is life.
Yeah.
The Police Accountability Commission, I don't know, got the city council wrecking ball yesterday? Question mark?
I don't know if there's a need for a question mark.
I guess my question mark was like, is it a wrecking ball or was it, you know, like a firing squad or...
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe just like they lined us all up and spit in our faces?
Something
What's
like
that,
that
called? Is that a... Does that have a name to it?
No, but...
Because there's this weird thing that our city council keeps doing, and it's like, you big dummies don't know what you voted for, so we're going to keep fixing your big dumb mistakes.
Right.
And in the interim, before we fix your dumb mistake, we're going to sabotage the thing you voted for so that it looks like it didn't work anyway. We never would. So when we spit in your face about it, no one's really that upset.
Right.
So the Police Accountability Commission made a bunch of recommendations. I mean, hard work.
Right.
This is what this is why, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm very upset with this. The performative nature of Portland, well, politics period, but certainly.
Homegrown politics.
I am telling you that the hatred of accountability and the hatred for Black women at the same time makes people lose their minds.
It's a nasty punch.
Lose their minds. Mm-hmm. So they have decided to change the language because, you know, accountability would just not be accountability if the board didn't have police members on it or union members or family members. It's amazing to do how many different accountability commissions for the police, and I know there's only one with that name, but multiple accountability or
advisory
yeah. commissions that are about public safety. This is about public safety. So many of them, and what we get at the end is the exact same. Doesn't matter how much work these people do. Doesn't matter how much evidence they provide. Doesn't matter how, I mean, it should honestly be the common sense that if this is an accountability or oversight board, your friends can't be on it.
Right.
Your wife can't be on it. Your coworker, the people who are going to make space for the behavior, the corruption, the violence, the people that are going to say this is something that had to happen. Oh, how sad the thing is, but you know, what was he supposed to do?
Thoughts and prayers.
Like, we need the people that did the harm on the commission. And then on top of that, we're going to make sure that you have to do a ride along with police so that, you know, you're on boots on the ground, man. You know what it's like being out there on the scene. Because I'm certain that during those ride alongs, everything goes the way that it would when you need the accountability happening. Everything's the same, I'm sure.
Before we went to got on the air, I shared with Morgan that a requirement of my participation in the police training advisory council is that we have to all do a ride along. I have not fulfilled that particular requirement.
I feel like you're about to get kicked off. Why are you?
I'm probably about to get kicked off. I'm disenfranchised. Like, it's really tough. Like, so first off, the ride along, I haven't done it. I'm not jumping to the front of the line to have it done, you know, to have myself scheduled. I've had too many police interactions for me to voluntarily get into a cop car.
Listen.
And they have not been positive police interactions. There have been just way too many negative life altering police interactions for me to say, oh yeah, let me get up front and see. I don't even know if we're riding in the front. I don't like I don't want to.
I don't want to be in the front. I don't want to be in the back. Right.
Mm-mm. And it's a very insensitive ask. And it wasn't until I guess I was dealing with my personal feelings around it and didn't think about it, what that means
on when you're
requiring that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Until you said it this morning. Like you're disqualifying the people that need to have a voice by saying, if you don't feel comfortable, if you don't feel comfortable riding along with a cop during their shift, should your voice really matter in this?
Well, I don't know how much of a question is, should it matter? It's, you are now biased. If you don't want to do that, if you have been harmed by the police, if you have experience, if you have any trauma associated, you're biased.
Right.
But there is no bias for the people that are committing any of those traumas or committing any of that violence or doing any of that harm. There's no, and none for their family members and none for their union members and none for, you know, like, be for real for once. Be for real for once. Like, this is silly. I cannot understand, like, every single piece of this should radicalize you. How many times are we going to do the fake thing? Or no, because it's not even that. We are trying to do better.
Yeah.
So let me, you know, not yell at the people that have voted for the things. I don't mean to misplace my anger. But when a small amount of people can take away 82% of the will of the voters, we got big problems. That's big problems. That's not just some little like, oh, you're a cute little city council.
Yeah.
These people are going to claw their way into making this an unlivable city that is nearly ungovernable. Is that a word? Ungovernable?
You just said whatever. You pronounced it pretty well. So I feel like it's a word now.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Because when we do vote for the things, they are sabotaged and then they are changed. That is true for more things than the police accountability board. And we are in a bad way because the people that have the money absolutely want this chaos. And they will tell you that this chaos is awful and we're not compassionate and, you know, we're enabling. They will say that as they are spending money to make sure people do not get housed. They are saying that as they are spending money, making sure there are not programs for treatment. They do not want drug addicted, drug affected, impacted. They do not want folks okay. Those are not the folks that they are expecting to participate in capitalism the way that the way that you would normally, because all of this is a policy choice. All of it. They are choosing this. And we got to stop acting like there was ever some moral or individual choice here that became systemic. You know what I mean? Like, these are multiple systemic issues being reduced to people with money saying it's rugged individualism. And if you would just bootstrap, if you just cared about your family more, you'd stop doing heroin.
Right. Right.
If you just cared about your life, if you really wanted housing, you wouldn't do drugs. Make it make sense.
When you said, what was it? Ungovernable?
Yeah.
I like it. It rolls off the tongue. Mm-hmm. It triggered another thought for me, how we talk about, you know, livability and creating a city where people can thrive. And it feels like all of the policies that our city council, our mayor, those who lean heavily right, it's like they're not trying to create a people-friendly city. They're trying to create a building friendly city. It's like they want to govern buildings and businesses.
Those are easier to govern than people.
Yeah. As if
Totes makes sense.
All of these things in the entire economy doesn't rely on actual people. And when you look at it from that perspective, it's like 82% of the people said, this is what we want. City council says, but what really matters is the buildings and the businesses. They are the unheard voice. And we got to speak up for them.
Well, corporations are people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
And I don't know if there is any clearer example or communication that we are just fuel. We're literally just coal that gets thrown into the engine of the locomotive. Like, they do not care. Imagine being a actual person. Imagine being an actual human being that campaigned, that talked to other human beings and convinced them to vote for you, a human being that would represent their human interests, only for you to get in there and make it safe for buildings and businesses.
Shout out to capitalism, baby!
It is abhorrent.
It does bottle the mind.
My mind. For one, I'm not sure about anyone else, but I can vouch for my own personal mind. My mental mind is bottled. My mental mind. Completely bottled. Okay? Sealed, packaged, and ready to be shipped. You say this a lot. This should radicalize you. You know what? Maybe that word's too big. This should make you very, very mad. Should make you so upset. Like, they are being very, very loud about how unimportant our voices are. And we have to push back. We have to push back. This city will continue to be unsafe for us the longer we allow people like this to be in power. That's it. We got to put apathy on the shelf and really, like, go at them. They feel too comfortable just saying the quiet part. It's like, I got to figure out a new phrase.
Right.
Like,
I mean, it's just, you know, pretty open. So maybe we'll just, we got another text that says, okay, then every member of the board should have a ride along with a legal observer or a camp that's being swept.
Oh.
I wish we had a ticket giveaway. I'd just be like, they're yours.
There you go.
Listen, I wish that I felt like certain people seeing a camp being swept would maybe sway their opinion, or at the very least, add some feelings to the wall of disregard.
I'm so glad. Your voice is my policy choice. I was like, I don't think that worked, and I sat quietly, and this is what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, now I lost my point. Sorry. I don't know what I was trying to say.
I apologize. You said that you wish that...
Oh, yeah. So I wish that was the case.
Right.
I feel like, for the most part, the people that need that perspective the most need it more than once, number one, because once is not going to do it for people that are actively fighting against what they're seeing. Like, you have to absolutely disregard some of the things that you're seeing in order to say, but that's their fault.
Right.
And if only they wouldn't have camped there, they wouldn't have lost all their stuff. And I mean, honestly, now they should just go to the shelter, right? Like, they're going to do all of that first, and they're going to do it for a while.
Yeah.
And they need to see what that full process is like. I want folks to know that the shelter that they keep saying we got shelter beds. I want to know if that would work for you. I want to know if that would work for you. Would you be able to, and no, do this exercise then, even at your house? Get up at 5 a.m, pack up your stuff, leave. You don't get to go to work. You don't get to go like somewhere, you don't get to do the fun. You don't get to do every run through the Starbucks, you know? You got to carry that stuff on your back and walk it around or find a place to hunker down for a few hours. Because you know what? Can't get back in anywhere for the entire day. Safe rest village? Cool. Do y'all understand that that's by, what's the word? Not recommendation, but they have to, yeah. Like they.
Oh, right.
They can't, you could walk up to a safe rest village and be like, hi, I'm here for safe rest. And they'd be like, cool, here's this phone number you can call. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a phone. Oh, here's this phone number you can call.
Right.
What are you going to do? So you carry your stuff around all day. You're hungry. You're looking pretty dirty. Looking like maybe you don't have a whole bunch of money. We have made it absolutely 100% fine to look at somebody and say, you cannot use the bathroom here. You can't, actually, don't even come in. Hand off the door. Hand off the door. Because now I'm scared. Like, do that. And then go back to your, to the shelter. But you can only go in after 6 p.m. You also need to wait in line for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then you can't leave until the morning. Does it work for you? Can you work a job doing that?
I'm so dehumanized.
You literally can't leave anything there. Does it work? Do you get treatment that way? There's this huge conflation of like housing first would mean that I guess people just go and do their drugs instead of going to treatment. Cool. I would actually not be mad if you are still doing drugs inside of the house.
Like regular, like
everyone like else? Everyone else with a house.
Because uh-huh. That's where we do a drug, right? That's where everyone else does their drug. The drug of choice.
Or, oddly, Ambush, I know a lot of people that do drugs in bathrooms.
Yeah.
In public bathrooms.
In the club.
Lots.
Yeah.
It's totally fine, though. They paid a cover or they bought a couple of drinks.
Yep.
No big deal. But, like, it just, none of it's serious.
No. We got a text that made my eyebrows go up.
Uh-oh.
Said, how about every cop and city council member has to spend a night in a homeless shelter unarmed?
Thank y'all for coming out. God bless you. Good night. Shout out to, whoever you are, because that's it. The unarmed part. Like, we could just sit there. They don't even have to stay the night.
Seasoning on that steak.
Honestly, they don't even have to stay the night. However, I would like you to stay the night in an encampment.
Unarmed.
I'd love for you to spend any, not you, obviously.
Right.
I'd love for them to spend any time in the pit or whatever, that you know, like all these places. Do that unarmed, and then talk to us.
How did you feel? Did you feel safe?
The issue is what they take away is lock these people up and not, oh boy, these circumstances, these conditions, this environment, the problems here are outside of their control. That's not the takeaway. The takeaway is people do drugs on purpose and they don't care that they're addicted because drugs are fun and they moved here from, you know, many cities away because Measure 110. And so we just got to lock them up. The way that they are able to couch that, the way they are able to flip it and say that they are the compassionate ones, it is. It's more than infuriating, but we are not, we aren't mad enough, you know, as a citizenry, we just aren't.
Yeah.
Because even if, you know, I do find solace in the fact that we continue as a city collectively are compassionate. We vote for things that are looking for, permanent solutions, and we are collectively bucking the idea of temporary solutions. And we've been doing that for a minute.
Thanks for that reminder. That's a great perspective.
We need to be really, really, really focused and upset, focus our anger at the people who are taking away the voice that we have built for ourselves, that are saying, you just don't get it. You're just, you know, some bleeding heart liberal and soft on crime.
Right.
It's that that is ruining the livability of every city. It is that these saboteurs, literally, in the way, purposely, laughing about it. I mean, and then just even Kevin Looper from People from Portland, you out here not paying taxes?
Did you see the text? Is that why you brought People from Portland?
No, what's the text say?
People from Portland is responsible for a lot of this anti-people mentality in government.
1,000%. And every single one of their ilk. Absolutely. No question. Every single one of their ilk, down to, you know, the Daughters of the Confederacy. They are, in fact, making an anti-people, but also anti-government.
Make it make sense. Pro-building.
I mean, it is just, if you have the property, we better be able to secure it. And if you don't have property, why get out of my face? Get out of my face. Okay, so we're going to try something different because we continue to not be able to get through our stories. So we're going to stop with this. We're going to say what we are talking about today.
Okay.
Right after I tell you, this is not a story that we're working on today, but we will, in fact, be chatting about this soon enough. With all of the, along with the sabotaging, it takes several arms, right, to be effective in reversing things that people have voted for. And pay attention to who is paying what candidate what.
Right.
Nathan Vasquez, who is the challenger to Mike Schmidt in the DA race, has less donors but double the money. And that money is coming from the people who give money to Betsy Johnson.
Yep.
To Drazen.
Yep.
To Gonzalez.
Yep.
To MAPS. There's an alignment that wealthy people have that it is hard for non-wealthy people to get. They may not share one other interest outside of capital, but that one is so strong that they don't at all care about the impact to a city. even when they're saying the city needs to be livable so that we make more money. Lies and fabrications. If that was the case, where would they be putting their money? Would they not be doing real efforts? Would they not be trying?
Right.
Instead of spending insane amounts of money to subvert what we want, what we know we need, and what we have voted for. We need to be big mad. Big, big mad. Like, there's no...
Fuming.
Yes. Renee said, you guys are too dumb to actually do this 12-person council thing. Like, we're not... Hey, rein this in. There's not 12 qualified people to do that. He said that to our face, fam.
Remember now.
And then, like, rides a bike to work.
Right. Remember now. This is a fellow citizen, right? He's come from the same ranks that we had.
Right.
Think about the mentality of a person who has, you know, before this was just another citizen, right? And now with achieving this seat of power, sees himself so much more differently than everyone else.
Boy.
Like, I was never one of you paltry.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a successful small businessman. Okay? You know. Okay, so I know actually all of it.
As a real citizen, I know that you guys aren't smart enough to govern yourselves. Like, hey, man, I'm just on city council. I might know a thing or two. Smack me around. Just smack me.
Man, it's devastating.
Yeah.
It's devastating how, like, it's not at these big ages, not in 2023, are they able to get away with it? Like, rule all the rules, burn it down, build it back.
Yeah.
Because anything that protects this particular form, this ability to subvert what the people have, that is not democracy.
No. And we're smarter than this, guys. We're smarter than this. We're smarter than them. We are. Yeah. We're more clever. You know how I know that? Because we make it through every day without the resources that the city is supposed to give us. We make it through every day without the care and consideration that government is supposed to provide. And we do it again. And we do it again. Check the check. And we do it again. They have millions. They sit on billions. And they can't make it work. They refuse to make it work. And tell us, it's just so hard. What do you mean? We make it work every single week.
This is sounding very much like the teacher strike.
Yeah.
And the way that PPS is arrogantly saying, I don't know what you could possibly want from me. What more do you want? Number one, PPS, you know what I want? I want you to stop your propaganda and disinformation campaign. How about that?
Yeah.
How about we could start there? Because there's a lot of people out here thinking that Portland public school teachers are making $100,000. That's just average. GTFO. Not even close. Okay. Anyway.
So we are going to talk about the strike this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, so in local news, the stakes have gotten higher as teachers face ineligibility for health coverage this December. You know, might not have, not spicy enough. In last week's news, but in today's we'll talk about, the Schmidt Show actually has the Gonzalez gang out here looking real goofy.
Super goofy.
And in national news,
Louisiana governor-elect is so pro-life, he's willing to threaten the lives of the living.
That is usually how pro-life works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pro-preborn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my faves.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be a doozy. Oh, we got a text. Morning, X-Ray fiancé, fam. XOXO, your boy Rudo. Good morning, Rudo.
Rudes.
Fiancés, are you there? I mean, I know some of y'all is there.
Yeah, I mean.
Are you riled?
Are you riled?
Are you getting ready to revolt?
Oh, man.
No? All right. Music break.
Yeah.
Shout out to y'all. I opened it and then I didn't have it. Here we go. I am riled. I love the all caps, by the way. I am here. This one right here, I don't even want to say it out loud.
Which one?
One year, while I was teaching in PPS, the superintendent got a raise that was more than my entire salary.
Run it back. Repeat it again so people understand exactly what you just said.
One year, while I was teaching in PPS, the superintendent got a raise that was more than my entire salary. That is not a, they got a raise that then made them make more. No, the raise itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of folks, we will get to the strike, but there are a lot of folks that do not understand that the dynamic there. Who should make the money? Who should be paid? What's the labor that's happening here? Who should be paid more? There's a lot of people that don't understand it. And so the idea is like, well, you want to make a whole bunch of money and not work the whole year. Your jealousy is showing.
Yeah.
Tuck your envy skirt. Anyway, next one. Been ready to revolt. Another one is and ready to revolt. Good morning, Carlos. Another one. Oh, there's a YouTube link and I can't open that. So, and it's a word, Morgan. Also, good morning. That must be ungovernable. And I should know that that's a word. And I thank you. Big time. Sounded kind of good. Ambush, I don't know what year Fantasy came out. The song you just played. Was that Music Box? Where what Mariah did that come from?
I feel like it was Music Box. I feel like that was during the Music Box years.
Man.
I'm almost positive.
I'm really trying to put together like the... Oh, no, that's way too early. That's 93. Mm. I'm trying to put together a timeline of my life, and it's impossible. Like, some of it is just, like, it's got to be movie or music-based. Like, oh, that came out in... So I was this old, and I was doing this thing at that time. I should know by some of Mariah Carey's songs, because they are, you know, they were cultural moments.
But you know why it's hard? Because Mariah Carey songs are timeless.
That is exactly where I was going.
You can't pin it down, bro. Once it comes out, it's like hot forever. We are in the Christmas season.
Well,
you know what that means.
They broke her out the ice. That's what it means.
Got her ready.
Yep.
Got her ready.
I don't even know. We didn't discuss. What are we going to do?
We're going to do that Louisiana story.
Hit it.
In September, New Orleans faced a significant water crisis, anticipating 3 months of saltwater intrusion into the local water supply. President Joe Biden declared it a federal emergency, providing FEMA and state agency funding to address the situation. However, some point fingers at Louisiana Attorney General at the time, Jeff Landry, blaming him for the city's unaddressed water infrastructure issues. Landry allegedly influenced funding withholding for the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board due to the city's stance on abortion. And this delayed funding, exacerbating the city's water infrastructure delay. While the saltwater intrusion threat has passed, the city's water infrastructure still requires attention. The New Orleans Sewage and Water Board faces a funding gap of nearly $1 billion for critical projects. Residents expressed frustration on social media, concerned about daily life implications, including school closures, food accessibility, and impacts on tourism, a major economic driver. Adding complexity, the water crisis coincides with Louisiana's stringent anti-board policy, with reproductive and environmental justice intersecting. Black families are particularly vulnerable. Louisiana, one of the poorest states, grapples with restrictive abortion laws. Senate Bill 342 mandates severe penalties for abortions, with no exceptions for victims of rape or incest. Now, the newly elected governor, Jeff Landry, is expected to wield his power to enforce strict policies, raising concerns about women's rights in the state. As the aftermath of the water crisis unfolds and political dynamics evolve in Louisiana, the lasting effects on residents are becoming more apparent. Governor-elect Landry has made it pretty plain and clear that he thinks that the abortion laws are not being adhered to. He's like, they're just, you know, people are just treating them like they're not real. So you know what? We're going to hold on to this money for the water infrastructure. We're going to sit now that I'm about to be governor, sworn in, won the race. This is how I'm moving.
Is that collective punishment? I know that's a word that we're, or phrase that we're hearing a lot with
the war crimes that are taking place.
Indeed.
Yeah. I think.
But is that this? I mean, it's, I'm going to harm you, or at least threaten you with harm until you bend to my will.
Isn't he affecting the water quality of other pro-lifers in his state?
You know, let me ask you this. If you are a pregnant person who can't drink water because the water is poisonous to you and your baby, whose life are you pro? What's the pro? we've done this. We already know that they don't actually care. And we also know that they don't care once that baby gets born. Yuck. Get a job.
Form with bootstraps. So grab them on the way out.
Why do you want welfare? Why are you, 13-year-old girl, unable to take care of your family? You should have made better choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is despicable. Yeah. I mean, like, I think that we can safely assume, because of the way that Flint's water was deliberately changed, and then the people responsible for it were like, yeah, I'm totally responsible for that, and also your mom.
Right. Right. No one was held accountable.
Not one person held accountable. Thanks, Obama.
Let me show you how safe this water is. I'll drink it.
Ah.
Y'all can have
that. So I'm sure that because we have seen that messing with the water supply don't really mean anything if you are a government official. It doesn't really mean that, you know, you could be held accountable for that. That someone would need to be responsible for that. We can't expect that to be the case here. However, that should radicalize us.
Right.
Right? Like, if you are upset that they are withholding water and aid and food and power and the internet in Gaza, that is a government doing that. That is not one person deciding, you know, this isn't Lex Luthor.
Right.
It's a government. That's people sitting. Listen, Steve Bannon really opened my eyes. I think I've said this before here. When he was saying all he had to do was realize this is just a job to folks. Like, so yeah, the people, when they're putting together, you know, the concentration camps and the gas chambers, that's just engineers at work. They're just sitting around a table, drinking coffee, having a meeting, talking about how these things are going to work. Once he realized this is just a job, yeah, none of it really actually matters. I do not ever want to be in the position where that is true. Like, I don't ever want to be so callous. I don't ever want to be so murderous.
Yeah.
That it's like, that's just a job, fam. Genocide, I just had to do it.
Wow. He just won the election. This man went from district attorney to governor. I know, you know, gerrymandering definitely plays a factor.
For sure.
But he's the new governor. And he expressed this type of intent before he won. And now this is the price that Louisiana is going to have to pay. Your water quality being held hostage because he's not seeing enough babies being born.
We got a text that says, that's just from the playbook of Tommy Tuberville to hold things hostage for abortion restrictions. Look at what they're doing in Ohio, trying to deny the abortion vote, a despicable version, but it's a thing now. Overturn the tables if you don't get your way. That's it. Tommy Tuberville, boy. Like, alone, that actor alone is like, is any of this serious?
Right.
Any of it? I know, I say things like that, and then people got to be looking at Oregon and Portland and be like, is any of this serious? I feel the same. Is it? No. I'm not 100% sure how we get people to no longer allow the theater to be what we do. Don't know how. It's been, you know, decades right. and decades and decades of people trying to figure that out. But when you are able to point immediately to a Tommy Tuberville who absolutely has done exactly that.
Right.
When you are able to understand these are just recycled plays over and over and over. And we're still having the same arguments about the things. People still talking about, should there be an exception for rape or incest? How about you get your exception out of my business?
Right. Right.
Out of my body. Nobody gets to govern men's bodies in that way. And women can't get pregnant on their own.
Hmm. Sounds like you're putting the regulations in the wrong places.
What? Worried about the wrong things.
Focusing on the wrong parties here. You want to regulate activities.
It's wild. Completely wild.
Hmm.
That's a whole governor.
Brand
just,
new.
Just a whole governor. On like, his way in. You know what I'm going to do.
On his way in.
I mean, nothing's really shocking, right? The front runner of the Republican Party for president is a person who spends the day in court and the night at rallies. And they're like, hell yeah, brother, can't wait. And then there are other ones that are like, hell yeah, brother, he's never not been the president.
Yeah, he never stopped being president.
He never stopped. God, wake up, sheeple.
Except when the current administration is doing something I don't like, then, you know.
Well, the shadow government of Joe Biden and the Democrats or the cabal, the baby eaters or something. I don't know.
It's the absolute worst science fiction writing.
It is. Ever. It's so bad.
It's bad. It's terrible.
What's the white science fiction version of Tubi? Is there such? I mean, there has to be. I just don't know it.
National Geographic?
Okay.
History?
Actually.
What?
Whoa. You said the History Channel? That
are they the ones that do aliens?
Out of the new
are they the ones that do
world? Are we in trouble?
Are they the ones that do Aliens Uncovered? Who was it? Is it the History Channel? National Geographic.
Child of the Anunnaki.
Yeah.
That's me.
There's some overlap in there.
Indigo.
Yeah.
Okay, it's 8:30. On your
FM dial.
FM dial. X-ray, X-ray, X-ray. It's 8:30.
Yeah. You want another music break before we jump into the next music,
and then we'll go into the next genre?
Okay. All right. I'm about it.
R.I.P. Nip.
Mm.
You forgot to say you're listening to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
It's true.
Guess he doesn't care about us anymore.
What?
Play that next. Michael Jackson. They don't really care about us.
Done.
I cannot wait to be the DJ here.
Here, like it's the newest club.
It is.
I walk
and we've
in,
got everything.
I love the decor. The bar staff is amazing. I can't wait to be the DJ here.
I can't. It's going to be so good. I mean, you're doing great.
Thank you.
You know.
But I mean, hey. Let's be clear. Two out of the three songs that are going to get played this show were your picks.
Yeah. And the third probably too.
Yeah. So. Well, that's, I'm referring to the third. I picked Hustle and Motivate, but Fantasy was you. And this, we are definitely going to get that that Michael Jackson to close out. Grandma.
You ain't got no Michael Jackson. You ain't got no Billie Jean. Grandma. What kind of car are you trying to put
in? How your car don't have Billie Jean in it?
That's wild. Are we poor? Okay. Friends, family, fiancés.
Oh my God.
I don't know if you know this, but they are trying to ban the daytime camping ban. Where's my soundboard?
Slow down.
Slow down.
They're trying to ban the ban?
Ban the ban.
Ban the ban.
I mean...
What are we in? Like, what world is... I don't understand.
The anti-homeless measures that we are going through is like... Oh, so you know you can't do that? Ah, okay. Let me figure something else out. Ah, you can't do that? Ah, let me figure something out. Let me spend thousands of dollars on fake rocks that are making it impossible for you to lay down. All right. Back in June, the Portland City Council passed a daytime camping ban. We didn't ask for it. The ban prohibits camping near public places from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., including near parks, docks, schools, and construction zones. Violations of the ban could result in a $100 fine or 30 days in jail. And what do we always say? If the crime has a fine, it's a crime against poor people.
Boom.
Just a week before the ban was set to take effect, the Multnomah County District Attorney Mike Schmidt sent a letter to Mayor Ted Wheeler, raising serious concerns about its enforcement. In a letter obtained by Street Roots last week, District Attorney Mike Schmidt outlined his apprehensions regarding the enforcement of Portland's daytime camping ban. The ban, which has been a source of confusion and contention among residents, imposes fines or jail time for homeless individuals who violate it three times. Schmidt expressed concern over the documentation process, stating that for effective enforcement, cases referred to the DA's office by Portland police must meet minimum standards set by the ordinance, including detailed police reports, showing prior warnings, and access to witnesses establishing that there were, in fact, shelter options that the individuals then declined. Cases not meeting these standards will be sent back to the police for follow-up documentation. And I know y'all know just how much the police love being corrected.
Love it.
Sergeant Aaron Schmatz, the Portland Police Association president, said, echoed Schmidt's concern in that moment, highlighting the challenges faced by officers. Quote, "I share the concerns about the documentation requirements. How can we ensure that we have the evidence needed to prosecute cases for the Portlanders are demanding solutions?" My word. Further complicating matters, it appears Mayor Ted Wheeler didn't notify Schmidt's office of the ban's enforcement date and has yet to clarify some of the language in the ordinance, like charging the DA's office to come up with, quote, alternative sentences, such as connecting people with services outside of the criminal justice system. Schmidt clarified that his office is not equipped to serve as a social service provider and lacks the budget to implement alternative sentences, such as connecting individuals with much-needed drug treatment or mental health services. Quote, "While we can refer individuals prosecuted by our office to treatment options that exist in the community, including housing assistance, addiction treatment, or mental health counseling, we have no resources within our budget for this purpose." Schmidt's stance has drawn criticism from Nathan Vasquez, a Multnomah County prosecutor running against Schmidt for the DA position. Vasquez argued that Schmidt should take a more proactive approach. Quote, "Your district attorney has a responsibility to do more than simply express concerns. We must all collaborate on solutions." In another last-minute twist, a Multnomah County judge blocked the ban from going into effect last week, arguing its constitutionality given the lack of available shelter space in Portland. City Commissioner Rene Gonzalez, champion of the camping ban, said of the ruling, quote, "We did our best, and it's profoundly disappointing that she stops us in our tracks with a one-page decision with zero explanation." The city attorney's office has asked the judge for a more detailed reason why. Rene says, "Right now, we're floating in the wind because there's zero guidance from the judge." Meanwhile, talks between the police and the city are ongoing to ensure officers have the necessary tools to enforce the ban. The city is seeking a detailed explanation from the judge, after which they may consider filing an appeal or reworking parts of the ordinance.
I'm as tired.
So I just want to make sure I understand. The voters did not ask for this.
Correct.
The city council passes it.
Correct.
Even though it is actually unconstitutional.
Correct.
To the own state's constitution.
Yeah.
Then puts the language that makes that task nearly impossible. Like, they know that this is unconstitutional. They know that the DA's office is a part of the criminal justice system and not a part of the social services system, but they're charging that office with doing non-criminal justice things. Like,
right. Because they have so many resources.
So many resources and so much time, yeah. You know, because they don't prosecute anyone anymore. Right. So you might as well just, you know, be a liaison.
Yeah, definitely.
Between one of our other many service providers. And then gets mad when a judge says no. But they don't get mad at the judge for real. They're mad at Schmidt, who doesn't have like one hand in the whole entire thing. Like, this is literally the city council and the mayor doing right. something performative, knowing it will not actually go into effect because it's illegal. Not because we didn't vote for it. It's unconstitutional. Unconstitutional. Let it sit, because it's the people that are all, you know, tough on crime that always talking about their constitutional rights.
Right.
But only for them. And then you don't even know who to be mad at. Like, the reporting that is so sillily making this as if anyone in the DA's office has anything to do with that. They right. basically
right.
wrote an ordinance that cannot be enforced in order for us to be upset at that person.
Right.
Right. Because then you have Nathan Vasquez saying your DA needs to be more proactive. Tell us what you do then in the band that you can enforce. Tell us what you do, sir. Like, please, we got to be real leery of all of these people. That Renee did the same thing. All of these people that are running for elected positions that are lying, flatly lying about the capabilities of their of the office or of their opponents.
Right. Capabilities and responsibilities.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's disheartening about this is that it's a winning strategy.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, guys.
No, okay. But, I mean, Vasquez should know that the DA's office is not in charge of that. And if he doesn't know, then he's not qualified to be running for DA.
Right. Again, the person behind the cloak, behind the curtain, whose name is never mentioned when it comes to homeless services or the plight of the homeless.
Did you just spell Dan Ryan?
Let me double check. Yes. I just don't understand. Who has he paid off?
Ted Wheeler. Like, I can't say that on the internet. I mean, on the radio. Delete.
Like, nowhere in the media.
Well, did they change his position? I don't know. I feel like there's been a reworking and, you know, nobody's in charge of homelessness now. I think Joanne Hardesty actually is in charge of homelessness.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. Like I'm pretty sure it's Joanne. And if only she would have ever done her job, you know, then we wouldn't be where we are now.
It's as if they, if you say his name three times, something bad will happen to you. You too will be homeless. If you say Dan Ryan's name three times. It's just so in your face. It's right up in your face that they will just, I can't even call it lying anymore. Just presenting an alternate reality.
Theater.
Complete. The sky is orange and the sea is green. Like.
No, kind of. Purple.
Okay. Purple. Purple. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I mean, it's disingenuous at best, and it is blatant disinformation and propaganda, and I don't know, violent lies at worst.
Violent lies. Violent lies.
Fam.
These aren't people that want to solve the problem. This is the core. Like,
that's the point.
We got to drive that home. These are not people that want to solve the problem. These are people that want to spin you around, get you all confused, get paid, incite more fear, incite more anger, and then keep it moving.
Poverty is a policy choice. Poverty is a policy choice. Poverty is a policy choice.
Yeah.
They are in charge of policy.
Right.
Even when they're not, right? Even when we decide.
Yeah.
They take it over.
Yep.
And that has absolutely got to change. I mean, and that we, that is the point of our incoming city council government, our new way to do things. That is part of the point. And it's exciting to even have that on the horizon. And it's also terrifying to see how they will do what they will do.
Yeah. Because remember, I mean, let's not forget, they tried very, very hard to stand in the way of that as well.
Oh, I mean, they got action still. Yeah. And I don't mean to change it, but to actually, you know, try and sabotage it.
Yeah.
There's definite action. We got a text that says, cannot let Silly slide. And you're right. I don't know what happened there.
I heard it and I was like, I'm messing with it.
I don't know what happened there.
Silly.
It's a day of questionable things coming from Morgan.
Listen, that first word, governable.
Ungovernable. It is a word.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out the same about Silly.
It's a hard one to say.
But you nailed it.
Thank you. Yeah. Stuck the landing.
Landed that plane. Yes. Yeah. So like when they come back with these, when they report back to the citizens with the difficulty of solving these problems.
Lies and fabrication.
Right.
Sorry.
No, there it is. I'm left with two options. Either you're lying or you're unqualified. I mean, move. Get out of the way.
Go away.
Go away. You don't get to stick around.
The thing that kills me is like someone like Ted Wheeler, who does actually have MAGA, go away.
Sir.
Power hungry punk. Like, there is zero reason for you to be here. I can't. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you should. That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
I'm upset. Like.
Yeah, rightfully so.
It's gross. It's gross to see how these coordinated efforts, like, they are coming together. It is so gross. And who's giving the money to who? Like, please, let's keep our eye on the ball here. Like. When you see Phil Knight, Mr. Philanthropy himself.
Mm-hmm. Philanthropy Knight.
Exactly that. When you see his name attached to Bazooka Betty. Oh, it's Betsy. There's an S in there. Yeah. When you see his name attached to her or the ilk, and then also I'm giving $400 million to the Black community of Portland. I wonder, what do y'all think? What do you think just happened there? Do you think one's a performance and one isn't?
Mm.
Like, is one of those genuine?
I think one of those is certainly genuine. Yeah. I think that Betsy's situation is.
I don't know. He gave to Drazen too.
Well, right? They both sit on the same side of the fence for him.
They're both not here for progress. Yes.
Yeah. They're both not Tina.
Yo, have you ever seen someone hate someone so much? Like, I want to know what history they got.
I am going against anyone running against you. I'm for them.
Anyone but you.
I will back anyone.
It isn't, it's not some like, coming from a good place, I really want to see, you know, the Black community of Portland. I want to see them invested in. It isn't, because if that were true, you would not be backing candidates who will harm the same community you're saying you want to invest in.
Right.
Follow the money always. Shout out to The Wire.
Mm.
And I am doing a rewatch right now. And let me tell you.
With your little.
Let me tell you this about that. Tempo is not messing with season two, and I get it.
Okay. I thought you weren't up to it by now. No?
God, no. We're on like episode 5, and I can't get her to go to 6. I'm like, we just got to make it through. Trust 2.
Trust me. Trust me. You'll love it.
When we get to I actually said to her, have I steered you wrong before? And she was like, yeah, a lot, actually. And I was
like, what?
Get out of my house.
Go away. What show did she say?
She didn't explain it. She just left it there. We both laughed and I cried later.
She's making stuff up. She's making stuff up again. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna hit this teacher strike.
You gotta do it. Do it fast.
Stakes have gotten higher as teachers face ineligibility for health coverage this December.
Sorry for the hard pivots, Kyle.
Yeah. It's dastardly. With classes canceled for a third week, Portland Public Schools.
Because it's cool to go to school.
Drops a bombshell. Teachers will be ineligible for health insurance in December. This announcement adds a new layer of stress to an already tense situation. I was expecting not to have to deal with that right now. It's a big stress, says Camila Arise. Got that wrong. A teacher at McDaniel High School and a mother of three, including a child who recently underwent brain surgery.
Well,
teachers now in their 10th day without instruction are compelled to apply for COBRA insurance, leading to increased anxiety among educators. I'm going to stop real quick. Applying for COBRA insurance is anxiety. It comes
it's
from
hearing the word COBRA.
Bruh.
COBRA is all caps yelling at you at all times. It is a snake coming to bite the head off of every single dollar you've ever had in order for you to see a doctor.
It is literally like applying for health insurance from Cobra Commander. From they're like, why? Why is this so painful? What is happening here? It's like going
private insurance is really tight. Actually, I want to take everything I just said back. You know how cool it is to be able to pay $600 for healthcare a month? Like, it's really neat. And that's cool. A one person. So imagine you have a child who has underwent brain surgery, or you have more than one child who likes to see a doctor from time to time. I cannot imagine how much money that costs.
Dog. The first time I was introduced to COBRA, again, not G.I. Joe related. I was in my 20s. I just got laid off from a call center.
Uh-huh.
No. I just got laid off from Franklin Institute, Franklin Mint. And they had...
I worked at Franklin Institute. You did.
At Franklin Mint.
Trying to take my career.
Brought all the employees together and was like, hey, so here's this envelope, right? That has your package and letting you know these are some resources and unemployment, da-da-da. And let's take... We're going to come back for lunch and we're going to discuss COBRA. And we were in there for 2 hours. And all I kept saying to myself is, this is impossible. You are firing me. What makes you think I can afford this? Nothing here. Nothing here sounds like something I can do. Can I please leave? Okay. Quote, for me, the district's decision to try and use our access to healthcare as a bargaining tactic is actually life or death, expresses Julia Kirkpatrick, an English teacher at Grant High School dealing with type 1 diabetes and a recent childbirth.
Sheesh.
Although COBRA insurance will be covered entirely by the Oregon Education Association, concerns arise about potential disruptions for teachers forced to switch between different insurance coverages. In the latest development, Portland fast tracks almost $20 million in PPS from the Clean Energy Fund. Wait, that's where that came from?
Mm-hmm.
To address infrastructure needs and student-led climate initiatives. Ted Wheeler emphasizes the urgency of reaching an agreement to benefit both teachers and students. At the state level, three Republican representatives proposed legislation to prevent teachers' unions from striking on school. Hey, man, strike on the weekend.
Bye.
Do it in your own time.
Bye.
City officials, including Commissioners Carmen Rubio and Mayor Ted Wheeler, are pushing for swift action to end the strike's detrimental impact on Portland families. While the $20 million investment aims to address infrastructure concerns raised by the teachers' union, a substantial gap remains between the district and the union's offers. Both sides, still at an impasse, call on Governor Kotek for intervention. The governor's office reports continuous efforts to mediate between the district and the union.
Three Republican representatives proposed legislation to prevent teachers' unions from striking on school days. I'm sorry, is that not officially union busting?
Yeah.
Because what you can't do is say you can't strike on your work days. That's the point of the strike. I am withholding my labor. Until you learn how to value it.
Strike on your own time, bruh.
I am. This is the silliest thing.
Strike on the weekends?
Fam. Like, that's tight. I love it. They're not wasting any time down in Salem. Y'all got it. You're doing great, sweetie.
Doing great.
Just high five. Why are Republicans wasting our time? Like, why would you even be doing that? Also, PPS, I want to be clear. Universal health care for all yesterday, period. That's the only way that this works. The fact that you are tied, your health insurance is tied to your employment, puts us in peril just like this. This is the point. The point is to be able to force the teacher who just had a baby with type 1 diabetes back into the classroom. The entire point is to get that teacher and the other teacher who has a baby who had brain cancer or brain surgery, to start lobbying their fellow teachers to be like, hey, guys, we really got to get back to work.
We got to wrap this up.
This is going to get too hard. That's the point. And that is union busting. That is not just like a tactic to end the strike. That is dastardly.
Yeah.
It's nasty work. That is nasty work.
Yeah.
Healthcare. And it is, I want to be clear that this is not, PPS has a choice here. They are deciding to do that. This is not like the teachers didn't work enough days in order to get their health insurance.
Right.
They've been on strike for like a total of 9 days. It feels like a lot longer because there were days in there that they weren't going to go to school anyway.
Right.
And there are weekends. And all of a sudden, your kid's Monday looks like your kid's Saturday. And it all feels like it's meshing together and you're not pleased about it. And I get that there are kids that are upset. But you know what I see is kids out there marching with their teachers.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to be like, dear PPS, the kids are watching.
Man, and they don't mess with y'all.
Nah.
They don't mess with y'all. I'm a part of a Facebook parent group. And I don't get on there much, except for right now, because I'm can't believe that the president of the school board keeps hopping in there.
Oh, my gosh.
And is like, some things are just unreasonable. We just don't have the money, guys. What do you want us to do? I want you to not be here.
Yeah, just checking in with my peeps.
I want you to not be doing propaganda in this group. He'd be getting torn to shreds and just comes back every day. I will take that.
That's like Joe Biden on Twitter. I'm like, who is tweeting this account?
I mean, Who's tweeting? It ain't him.
Yeah, like, y'all have to stop.
Joe Byron busy. You know? You gotta talk to BB. Get him on the phone.
Yeah, on the phone with my guy.
Yeah. Was there a time, really quickly, we have a text, I want to read it, I haven't read it yet, but was there a time that it was exciting to know that, like, the mayor of the city you lived in's family had a city named after them? Was that like, oh man, that's tight, I'm happy that the Wheelers are still in charge? Is that how it went ever? Or
I feel like it was like that in smaller coastal towns, you know, population of
28.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more now, Wheeler. We're not, no diss. No, not on you.
Yeah.
Founding fathers, though.
I could imagine, you know, that being a thing like upstate Maine. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, it's like, ew.
Small towns of Virginia.
What is this, an oligarchy?
Mm-hmm.
Monarchy?
Mm-hmm.
Lumber money?
A family owns the biggest factory in town and have been in politics since the town's inception.
Well, they are the ones that incorporated it. So,
it's of course.
Just got to have some money. All right. So we got a text that said, we seem to have entered a new era of the fascist America where the voter's decision is completely disregarded. For example, what happened in Ohio when voters chose to enshrine abortion in the state constitution and the legislators just said, nah. hard pass.
We're good on that.
Exactly that. I want to, you know, all of the exclamation points to that. And the way that they've been able to make the word fascism sound like, you know, nothing. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Fascist America means nothing. They're just those young people with their words. They just throw them around. They don't even mean anything. anything anymore. Really? I mean, I feel like textbook definition here.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say it means exactly what it's supposed to.
Just absolutely Webster's telling us the goods. And, oh, also the same with apartheid. Also the same with genocide. These are just words that people are using wrong. Got it. Solid. Thanks. Violence.
Well,
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Guess what, guys? This is News of My Fiancé.
We did it!
Brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush and our super active podcast editor, Kyle G.
We see you. Bum, 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 bum.
You know what I'm saying? Thank you for everyone that joined the conversation with us today via text. The music playlist is updated. And yeah, man, please don't forget. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits, power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.